This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Our time is a minute after the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome to the second hour of the Power Zone right here on Power 98.7. Thank you very much for staying with us, and to everyone that rallied with us in the open line there, just trying to help us make sense and just weigh in on what has been happening around us. So that is an opportunity, a platform where I always look forward to just getting a sense of where you are, mostly just dominated by that question that I posed to you around the Hammanskraal water crisis. The President Cyril Ramaphosa, will be there on the ground just with some delegates, the ministers, deputy ministers. The Gauteng Premier will be there, as well as the Tshwane Mayor, Celia Brink. So it's a multifaceted sectoral approach led by the President there to Hammanskraal. Most of you not convinced that really his visit is going to change things there, saying that you've been calling for some interventions for quite some time, especially the residents of Tshwane that are there on the ground. So really despondent, most people really not convinced and not buying into this visit by the President that will take place later on today. But he'll be there on the ground. He's visiting the Rooiwal water treatment plant, and I guess but he'll also engage with some residents there around some of their concerns. So we are in the second hour of the show. I told you guys that we'll be shifting focus and going to KZN this morning. This is where we find the South African National Civic Organization. Sizwe Mazwe Kaile is the Sanko KZN Provincial Secretary who's coming through to let us in on what is happening on that side of the world. We know very well that we often have Sanko here on the show from Gauteng. So this morning we are changing tack a bit and just shifting our focus to what is happening in KwaZulu-Natal. We know very well that there've been a lot of talk around the leadership of Sanko, especially in that side of KwaZulu-Natal. But then this morning, they'll just shed light with us in terms of the disbandment of the former leadership and these new leaders that have been installed, including the former president, this being the former president, Jacob Zuma. So, he's the provincial coordinator of Sanko in KZN. Let's get that right. That being my guest, Sizwe Mazwe Kaile. You at home, let's join in on 0861-987-000. What are you making of these movements around the former president and Sanko and their positioning there in KZN? We are on that dial, 0861-987-000. We also on at Power FM 987 on Twitter, and the hashtag that we're rallying behind is hashtag Power Zone. I am at Katlego Lerodi _, and that's where you find me as well on Twitter under that hashtag Power Zone. Sizwe, you know, I gave you that title of the provincial secretary, but man, you are the provincial coordinator. Welcome to the Power Zone.
Good morning, Katlego, and good morning to your listeners. Yes, of course, I was the provincial secretary since 2021 until 2 days ago. Yeah, just on Tuesday, when the provincial structures were disbanded, and that's when I got appointed as a provincial
coordinator.
So I've been carrying the title for just 2 days now.
So I was not far off the mark.
You were not far off the mark. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Basically, it's almost the same title. It's just that when the structure is interim, that's when you are given a title of a provincial coordinator. But once the structure becomes permanent, meaning once you've been elected into the position, right now I'm appointed. So once you are elected by the branches, then that's when you become a provincial secretary. But basically, those terms are interchangeable.
Mm, I see. And this is all because coming out of that move to, you know, disband and dissolve that former structure and to look forward to at least the setup of a new structure within the KZN space. Tell us about that. We saw that movement within, I think it was in January, February, where we saw just also the former president featuring, you know, high in terms of the leadership of Sanko in that regard. But now the disbandment, why the disbandment so early and the new election of or appointment of these new leaders?
Yeah, thank you very much for this opportunity to clarify this matter. You know, this matter doesn't start at KZN. You know, always to talk about it, you need to give it the necessary background. Now, because it started in 2019 when Sanko had to launch its National Executive Committee in bracket NEC. So it did launch it in January 2019 in Gauteng, Alexandra. So when it launched it, some of the Sanko members were not happy about that launch. So then there was contestation afterwards. Then those ones who were not happy, they, of course, for particular reasons which they could state at that time. Then they went on 3 months later to launch another National Executive Committee structure in Durban, same year, I think, in March 2019. So we ended up having two National Executive Committee structures. So we had two NECs which were then reviling each other. But they're both Sanko NECs. So as the time went on, each of these NECs went on to launch their provincial executive committees in different provinces. And those PECs went on to launch their regional executive committees. So we ended up having parallel structures throughout the country. So which, of course, was not a good move for Sanko because it was one Sanko and people will end up asking which Sanko is this. So in terms of the KZN, in 2021, there was a provincial executive committee which was launched, which was aligned with what we then called for ease of reference, Alexandra NEC. So we ended up having a PEC aligned with the Alexandra NEC. Then recently, this year, in January 2023, we had another provincial executive committee launched here in KZN, which was now aligned with what we called Urban NEC. So we ended up having those two PECs reviling each other again, yet they all belonged to one organization, which of course was not assisting the organization. In January, that's when the former president, Comrade Jacob Zuma, got elected as the provincial chairperson of Sanko. But then this situation, both of these NEC structures had taken each other to court. But since 2019, but unfortunately, the South African justice system can take too long, and it dragged and dragged, and the case, they never set a trial date, you know, in court. So thank God, probably with time, they say time heals. Both different NECs eventually agreed to say, comrades, look, this is not assisting us, it's not assisting the organization. Let's sit down and amicably try to resolve this matter. So on the 18th of May this year, both of these NECs agreed to disband themselves or dissolve themselves, and then put in what is called a National Interim Coordinating Committee, NICC. So which is an interim structure which consists of NEC members from both former NECs. I'll call them former NECs because they had disbanded them. So as we speak now, we have a new national convener of Sanko who will come from the what you call Durban NEC by the name of Richard Mkhungo. Is now a regional convener equivalent to so to speak national chairperson or national president at a national level, because it's only the national structure that has got a president. Along side with him, we've got a national coordinator by the name of Comrade Mike Sokko, who's also equivalent to General Secretary. You know, then this national interim coordinating structure, of course, their responsibility is to unite all SANCO structures underneath the national structure. Part of doing that is to dissolve those provincial structures which have two PECs in one province, because that is wrong. It's, of course, this unit. So KZN was one of those provinces with two PECs, as stated, that we had a 2021 PEC, and we also had a 2023 PEC led by Comrade Jacob Zuma. So that's when on Tuesday this year, this week, basically on the 6th of June, they convened a joint NEC convened by the national convener and the national coordinator under the instruction of this new national structure. They convened joint PECs, which included these two reviling PECs, and they dissolved both of them. Then they merged them, and then they put in place what we now call an interim provisional coordinating committee. Then they appointed a former president, Jacob Zuma, as the provincial convener. That's how he became a provincial convener, meaning he's the interim chairperson at the moment of the province. And along with him, they appointed five other provincial office bearers. If I may just quickly list their names. As a deputy provincial convener, there is Comrade Lawrence Dube, who was the provincial chairperson of the other PEC. Then there is provincial coordinator, which is myself, who was a provincial secretary of the other PEC. Yeah. Yes. Then there is a deputy provincial coordinator, which is Comrade Lucky Hadebe, a provincial fundraiser, who is Comrade Saba Tamzimela, a provincial organizer, who is Dr. And 20 additional members, meaning we've got a 26-strong IPCC committee made up of the comrades from both of these former PECs. And, okay, maybe let me stop there for now. Thank you for allowing me to give this clarity. I was going to get into the new mandate that we've been given by this.
We'll get to the mandate, because I also want to understand then, Cesar, in terms of the term of this interim structure. Since we're seeing, you know, the convener, the deputy convener, and we're trying by all means to forge unity in this regard, maybe you'll tell me if that is leading us to a conference. But I wanted to understand as to why the frictions existed in the first place. What led us to all of these factions and all of this battle for positions, and one saying that the other PEC illegitimate, the other one is illegitimate in this regard? Why did we find ourselves having to even dissolve and try to forge some sort of intervention in this regard? What were the issues at hand?
Yeah, no, thank you very much for that particular question. But before I get to it now, I must emphasize that we are exhilarated about the current situation, because right now at a national level, even though it's an interim, it's a national interim structure, we have one SANCO at a national level. At a provincial level now, we have one SANCO as well. So we are exhilarated about the current situation, which is prevailing right now in terms of the unit of SANCO and the capacity of the organization to go back to being able to advocate for the issues of the poorest of the poor. Well, we do, of course, regret to have had such breakdown amongst ourselves as comrades. Of course, it means there was a point where comrade did not see eye to eye in terms of interpreting the constitution of SANCO. So then that's when the problem starts, when you interpret the one clause differently. But then that's when we went to court, because the constitution of SAMCO is it's actually a legally binding document. We are a constitutional country. We have to rely on the justice system of this country if we reach a point of a stalemate in terms of interpreting even our own constitution. So then that's when we went to court to seek its intervention in terms of clarifying, in terms of who understands these particular clauses or clause better. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, our justice system did not serve us. You know, it took too long before it could give us an opportunity, you know, where it can intervene in terms of clarifying that. So that's when Comrade ended up saying, no, we'll interpret the constitution the best way we understand it. And the other ones were saying, no, that's a wrong interpretation. We'll also go ahead and interpret it our own way. So we ended up having those different types of groups, and we both interpreted the constitution, of course, differently. And that's when we ended up having two different structures, unfortunately.
So basically, the issue was with the interpretation of the constitution. What happens now? Do we have the hang of what the constitution says, and so what some of those clauses are saying as we speak right now? Would we need then, in this new phase and this new era of SAMCO, need to see some of those clauses then amended to ensure that everyone is on the same page? And are you able to just share with us what some of those contentious issues with these clauses were?
Yeah, basically, it was one clause in the constitution which was arguing as to when is the term of office expires of a PEC, of a National Executive Committee. Mm. You know what happened back in 2014? We had an NEC which took place at Umtata. And its term of 5 years was expiring on January 19, 2019. So on January 19, 2019, we were then supposed to launch another NEC. Others were saying, no, your term has expired. It's expired on the 18th of January. 2019, so a day before. Then they were saying, you can no longer launch on the 19th. You must now launch on 2018. I mean, you must now launch, your term to launch has expired. So which means, I'm sorry, you must have an interim structure, dissolve yourself, because there were issues leading up to that day of launch, of launching the NEC in 2019. That's when the conflict started. That's when the two NECs were born. So in 2022, last year, we had a National General Council which had powers to amend the constitution. So the constitution was amended to clarify such issues with detail, even as to what to do when we have such issues, so that we do no longer have a situation where we had to launch parallel NECs. So we've agreed about that constitution, which was amended last year. And we'll now, because we ended up having two SAMCOs now, we agreed to say, no, that will be one constitution that we'll use, which was amended last year. So I think we reached that agreement and we are happy about it.
I mean, also hearing that but some of these frictions that we've seen and this infighting and some of these clashes happening within SAMCO did not sit well with the tripartite alliance. So we know that as well, SAMCO, you're very, very pivotal in terms of, you know, working with the ANC, you know, as one of those partners on the ground level. And some of these, we're hearing that they caused friction there at the top with the tripartite alliance. Is there any clarity familiarity where that is concerned? And do we then see these kind of relations mended, looking at the fact that there's been this intervention working with Ntate Soko and Richard Tlhope in this regard?
Yes, we do not call it a tripartite alliance anymore. We just call it alliance because it's no longer tripartite. It's actually four alliance partners, including SANCO. Mm. So SANCO is part of the alliance. So it's ANC-led alliance. Then we've got SACP, COSATU, and SANCO. Mm. So what happened in 2019? So when this structure, I'm just going to give you a practical example as to what happened. Mm. When this January 2019 NEC was elected, it then submitted its NEC list to the ANC at that time. The then Secretary General of the ANC was S. Makashule. The alliance recognized this January 2019 Alexandra NEC. But then 3 months down the line, the Durban National Conference took place. After the conference, they submitted the list of names as well to the alliance, to the ANC, COSATU, and SACP. Now, the alliance partners were confused to say, but we just received these names from you guys, and you gave us the name of president and the general secretary, etc. Now you are giving us these new names. So that's when the issues ensued. After lengthy discussions, then the alliance partner said, no, look, we are all equal partners here. We do not have a right to intervene in SANCO affairs. But what we ask instead from SANCO, because we can't tell you which one is the relevant or a genuine NEC, what we'll ask from SANCO is for SANCO to recuse or excuse itself from the alliance to go out, sort out its affairs. Once they have reached an agreement as to who the NEC leadership is, then you'll give us that one united list. So that thing, or that kind of a situation permeated down to provinces and regions, because we ended up having parallel structures everywhere. So the province of ANC, for instance, here in KZN, will then say, hey, SANCO, just go out there, guys. Please sort out your affairs. Once you finalize this list or this situation, just give us one name for the provincial chairperson, one name for the deputy, one name for secretary, etc., etc. So at that time, when the issue was still in place, the ANC put together a committee which was trying to assist SANCO, which was led by the late Comrade Jesse Duarte. May her soul rest in peace. She then eventually, when she realized that she's also reaching a stalemate with both of these NEC, eventually she was the one who wrote a letter to say, I think Comrade Ace as well had been in suspension, so Jesse was acting as Secretary General. So she's the one who wrote us a letter to say, please, SANCO, finalize this matter. So the Secretary General or General Secretary of Alexandra NEC was Mike Soko. And the Secretary General of the Durban NEC was Comrade Richard Mkungo. So when you write a letter, you'll, of course, send it through the office of the general secretary, who's got the right to receive correspondence in terms of the constitution. So then she wrote a letter to them. So after all these years, you know, which is 4 years now, when we finally reach an agreement and we have unity, the same comrades, of course, who've got the right to write on behalf of this NEC, Comrade Richard Mkungo, who's now a national convener, and Comrade Mike Sogo, who's now a national coordinator, then wrote a letter to the current Secretary General of the ANC, Comrade Fikile Mbalula, to inform him and the rest of the alliance that, look, Finally, we have reached an agreement. We've got unity. We've got one national interim coordinating committee. So these are the names of the people who have been tasked to lead it in the form of a national convener and a national coordinator. So that's that we've done. And we've also done the same here in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. We've written a letter, but of course this has to be written by the national leadership. It has been written by the national coordinator, Comrade Mike Zog. He's written the letter to the KZN PEC, because you'll notice that Sanko was nowhere to be seen, even in the ANC rallies. We will not be giving even the message of support. But not throughout the country. Like, for instance, in Eastern Cape, we always had one structure of Sanko there. So Sanko was working fine with the alliance. In Mpumalanga province, we had one provincial structure. So Sanko was working fine there. The issues were in provinces where you've got more than one Sanko. So, yeah, that's the situation. So now the national structure is then going to be visiting those provinces with parallel PECs and then be dissolving them, putting in place a provincial interim coordinating committee.
Yeah. So where to from here? Then this committee, because we're hearing that, you know, your conveners and more or less coordinators, it's not cast in stone. Where to from here? Could we expect then to see you, you know, inching towards a conference to elect, you know, what follows this interim structure? How long are you expected to act in that position?
Yes, for the National Interim Coordinating Committee, we've got a definite date there. It's going, we will have a national conference in November this year. Yeah, but for the provincial committee, we have not agreed on a date yet, because we were just appointed 2 days ago. We are here to have our first meeting, but generally, it should not take more than 6 months, because after 6 months, our mandate expires. So unless the NEC renews it, but we know that after 6 months, it expires. Our mandate from here now is to unite all the structures within the province of KwaZulu-Natal, all the Sanko structures. So we'll be doing the same. We'll go to those regional structures where we've got more than one regions, then we'll have to disband those ones and put in place interim regional coordinating committees, which we call IRCCs in terms of the constitution of SANCO, in order to then have one structure of SANCO or structures of SANCO throughout the province. So while we're doing that, because as much as we are in interim structure, we've got full executive committee rights. So meaning we've got enough same rights as the PEC as much as we are in interim appointed structure. But we are hoping to work with full speed to make sure that we execute our mandate to install a unity throughout the province while working on the issues that SANCO is known for, in terms of advocating for the issues of the poorest of the poor, in terms of coming, assisting or working together with all the relevant structures to fight the triple challenge of poverty, inequality and unemployment, particularly the youth unemployment, which we consider to be a ticking time bomb. So we'll be working on those issues. We'll not be just saying we'll disregard the issues that are applied to the society. While we are working on unity, we'll never lose sight of the core existence of SANCO. We'll be dealing with such issues, continuing to demand a decent service delivery for the society. We'll continue to demand housing and everything else that the ANC-led government must deliver. As much as we are the alliance, people think that we are just there to defend, no, the governing party. No, we represent Abahlali. We represent the poorest of the poor of this country. But we believe that all these issues that we want, the issues of housing, the issues of water, clean and decent water, which is a big issue right now throughout the province of KwaZulu-Natal, the issues of unemployment, we believe that it's only the ANC-led government that can deliver those for the people. That is why we are in alliance. We are in alliance not to praise the ANC leaders, but we are in alliance to advocate these issues and be making noise to the ANC. That's why we know when SANCO is functioning very well in the society, you find the leaders of SANCO are being hated by the councillors, the ward councillors, because they are the ones who are making a lot of noise in terms of the service delivery issues.
Yeah, no, really, we really wish you well as SANCO. Looking at the fact that you getting it right would mean the world of, you know, to those that are on the ground, because you are closer to the residents. We often see you basically just question and, you know, more or less contest and try by all means to challenge the status quo in this regard, meaning that there's a lot of work cut out for you where your alliance partner, the ANC, is concerned, because we're going into these elections. They were in government, and it means that basically where these elections are concerned, it will need to be all hands on deck, and we'll see you, I guess, in this regard, you know, campaigning alongside the alliance partners, since the structure now has been formed, and it seems as if this unity and coordination, looking at also those conversations that you've been having with the ANC leadership in these elections, you're really going to then be on the side?
Definitely, yes. You know, but we always say before we campaign, we need to crack a whip on the ANC, because that's what we exist for. We exist to advocate for the poor, rest of the poor. Hence, we're saying, even now, as much as we, before we get to a point where we really campaign for the ANC, we don't want to give the ANC a blank check, you know, because what comes first to us is the service delivery. So we need the ANC to agree on its weaknesses and then to come up with proper strategies to say how are they going to improve of the, on these areas of weaknesses. And then that's when, once we reach an agreement and we are comfortable with their plan going forward, that's when we'll start campaigning, you know. So by the time people see us campaigning, we will have reached that point of comfort to say, no, we are comfortable with the manner in which they will be correcting the issues. Of course, up to this point in time, we are very happy with the performance of the African National Congress, and we believe that where they've got shortcomings, they should be able to improve, and they should listen to us, because, you know, Katleko, you know, people don't understand the purpose of the alliance. To say, you know, the COSATU is there in the alliance. It's not like to say it's there to agree with the ANC. It's there to lobby for its constituency, the workers, you know. They, like us, ourselves, as SANCO, we are there to lobby for the Abahlali, you know, the citizens of South Africa, to say, this is what the citizens want. When are you going to do this? So when the ANC comes up with the election manifesto, it will then be coming up with a manifesto which talks to all of these stakeholders. That's when we converse for the ANC, we are conversing because we're part of the election manifesto, and we got them to commit to us to say they will do 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, no, we really then wish you everything of the best, especially around the national conference that you're saying that you're going to be holding in November. Looking forward to also hearing when you'll be holding the provincial conference. But this encouraging is the fact that at least we are seeing you as SANCO United trying by all means to sing from the same hymn book. You yourself, you're very impressed with how things are going so far. We'll be seeing you at least in this regard, ironing out issues with your alliance partners, the ANC, SANCO, SACP and COSATU, so that at least even the residents that have been struggling to get the best out of Sanco can now be rest assured that there's stability where the structure is concerned. I want us to leave it here for this morning, and Dr. Clele, but thank you very much for coming through.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.